Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 15, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast on the net internationally. It's also live on YouTube right now and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime is not free, and it is past due. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base. That's people way out there. I bet you can't even pronounce that name.
Unmertia.
Anyway, that was my wife, and neither one of us can pronounce this crazy place in Russia. Well, I guess you folks aren't crazy. You're listening to our radio program. Wait a minute, probably got to be crazy to listen to us. Anyway, in Russia, Westminster, London, the United Kingdom, Bangkok, Thailand, Auckland, New Zealand, Vancouver, Canada, and, of course, cities in the old United States such as Atlanta, Georgia, Henderson, Nevada, Washington, D.C. I don't know what them folks are listening for, probably just the NSA picking us up. Anyway, El Paso, Texas, Fresno, California. Just to name a few, of course, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners, at least when it goes to our podcast later on tonight. Anyway, now prayer, and I'll bring on tonight's guest. I bet you can't guess who it is. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, please give us the wisdom to give out what you need to get out, Father, and please give everyone ears to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I was going to start having my wife back on to talk about every other week. Guess what? It's every other week. So she, my wife, 30, how many years?
1985. That's the best answer. You do the math.
You do the math.
I think it's 33.
Okay, well, say hello to the folks.
Hello, folks.
Hello, folks. Okay, that was kind of short.
Saints, and people.
In
listeners.
Okay, well, before we go much further, I'll tell you what I just explained to my wife. You know, we were talking about, I've been talking about doing video for over a year, and part of my problem is, you know, it's kind of a complex thing, you know, just doing it by yourself or whatever, but we're going to bring back, instead of the program being called, I used to call the first program Mission Watch. Well, my plan is now actually changing the name back to Mission Watch, being on every other week, and it may increase to every week, but being on every week, every other week, but we're going to do a video. That way you can see my lovely wife, and we'll focus the camera on her, and that way I can lean out of camera range. You won't have to look at my face. No, I'm joking. But anyway, so within the next few weeks, that's what is my intention. If I can get the camera working right and my office straightened up a little bit, then we'll do that. What do you think?
Your office straightened up a little bit?
Be quiet. What's within the camp? That ain't right. That ain't right.
Oh, my. Everybody laughing?
That ain't right. Well, they ain't never seen my office, you know. Wait. You know what actually statistics say as a fact? They did study that people that are smart, that are really highly intelligent, usually their offices are a mess.
You can't never find anything?
Yeah. Well, no. I know where everything's at. Anyway, moving right along. You're a problem child.
Yeah, I know. You go, Mom, do you know where...
Well, if it's would you? You know, I don't know about.
We're doing radio, Dad.
Folks, I don't know about having her on. We may not ever get anything done. Anyway, just at least within, you know, camera shot. You know what I'm saying? It's impossible to clean this whole place up because we have too much stuff. This house where is a freestanding dwelling, which also is a ministry storage house and a catch-all for a lot of junk that we just have no place for but can't be thrown away. And so that's the easy answer for all this stuff. And the other is I'm an accomplished slob. You knew that when you married me. No comment? Really? You're speechless?
Yeah.
You are. I don't know what to say about her, folks. Anyway, that's the plan. And here we burn up about 5 minutes of useless airtime. Oh, my. So, what do you want to talk about first? Or do you want to talk about anything? You got anything on your mind, or you just want me to ask you something?
Clue me.
Oh, clue you. Clue her. Okay. Here's the way it's going to go. First off, you know, technically when, you know, Obama... Okay, anyway, here's the whole thing, and then you can make comment. Obama, as we all know, he changed the bathroom. There's a title thing that tells how the law is read, and there's a law that you can't discriminate, you know, based on sex. But sex has always been determined by, you know, I'll just say it the easy way, what is, you know, between your legs, so to speak. Trying to be tactical about it. So that's what determines your gender, and that law has always been interpreted as that. Well, how Obama got the schools to change things is he reinterpreted the law to mean and wrote a note to it, an addition to the law, what you would call, you know, we'll just call it his definition. And by his definition, anybody... Sex was determined by what a person thought they was, which allowed transgenders or men into women's bathroom. And we have had instances of men that got in the bathroom that actually raped people. Okay. Having said that, so he put that into the law and did it just as, like he did with several other things, just as a kind of a going out of office gesture. But anyway, point being is the other day, Trump rescinded that. And so the new... the woman that's the head of the Board of Education sent out the thing that said that it will be determined the old way that it used to be, that sex is, you know,
male and female
by how God gave it to you.
Right.
We'll do that because, you know, God don't make, does he make a mistake?
By how you came out when you were born. That's what you are.
Right. Okay. So he did that. So Trump and, you know, be it his education secretary or whatever, you know, they rescinded it. So now it's back to the old way. But yet there's still people that are bucking it, of course. The liberals are all mad about it. But what was the name? Let's see. The name of that pharmacy, I was trying to say that to you the other
Walgreens.
Day. Walgreens says that it doesn't matter, that they can go in to their choice. So what do you think of the whole transgender thing? What do you think about all that?
Okay, so you're telling me that Walgreens said transgender is okay or isn't okay?
It is okay. They say men can go in women's bathrooms.
Well, who was it you said that they were going to make it where you had to get the key to go in or something?
Well, we were talking about that one particular Walgreens.
Oh.
And we talked about that Walgreens that you've always had to have a key to get into the bathroom. And the one across from the hospital in Wichita always you've had to have a key. Somebody, an attendant, had to go and unlock the door for you to get into the bathroom. But that's not an issue. That's because it's a dangerous neighborhood, so that's a non-issue. So it's Walgreens.
So I don't think it should be anywhere. Men should go in men's restrooms, and women should go in women's restrooms. And if a man thinks that he's a woman, then I don't know where he should go. Maybe he should go home and go to the bathroom.
Well, you know what? Just a short, until Obama brought all this stuff up and, you know, it, putting it out into society during the Obama years, if a man thought that he was a woman, it was a disorder. And there's a big book. I can't think of the name of it, but there's this big book, and psychiatrists go by it. In this book, it tells you what is a disorder or not, gives you the definition of disorders, and that's what they go by. And that book said that transgender, you know, having a problem with your genitals, I'm trying to be tactful,
is a mental disorder.
It is a mental disorder.
And I believe that wholeheartedly.
And there, some liberals are trying to change it, just like liberal colleges right now, and some governors are even coming out there. They're on the path to saying that pedophilia is completely normal.
That is not normal.
You know, they're trying to say
Lord of those that touch the little children, paraphrase, but there is a scripture that says, pedophiles is not okay, not in anybody's book.
Not in it. Well,
I guess I can't say anybody's book, but the good Lord's book is not okay. It's abomination.
Yeah, amen. And that's absolutely right. And so that's where the liberals are headed to. In fact, we were on the verge of all this. Had Hillary been elected into office, you would see extreme persecution of Christians, not only over transgender, but over these kinds of issues, and homosexuality being okay, and so on and so forth. What do you think about homosexuals getting married?
It's an abomination. I can say for sure the Lord don't lie, and they're not going to get into the good Lord's heaven when it comes down from Jerusalem, because it's an abomination. A man and a woman. He made Eve for Adam. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Eve, there's no Steve to it. It's Eve.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could put a couple letters in front of it and make Steve.
That's probably where they got mixed up. They got their scripture mixed up or something.
Well, they didn't get it mixed up. It's just how they're reinterpreting scriptures. But here's the problem. You know, in a country as big as we are that has always professed itself to be Christian, how do you think, have you heard the church griping about any of this?
No, they just want money.
They just want money? So
they feed them full lies just to get their, who was it? Somebody called them dummy wallets. I can't remember who that was.
That was Brent.
Who was it?
Brent.
Was it Brent called him dummy wallets? I thought it was the guy that also did the donut and the coffee. Let's have a donut and coffee, remember? The preacher.
Oh, you're talking about, well, he's one of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Jesse
saying.
That's Jesse the Planet.
Yeah, that's what it was. I don't remember names, people. I just remember speeches and faces, but yeah, that's what he called them, dummy wallets. They come in, sit down, listen, get their Bible, wipe the dust off of it, come in, sit down, and pull the wallet out, put the money in the thing, and then go home, put their books back on the shelf, and wait till Sunday comes again.
Yeah, well, let's back up. Isn't there more to it than just getting your Bible out on Sundays, carrying it to church?
They want to hear the lies that the preachers are telling them. The preachers are telling them lies to get their money.
The preachers are actually, a long time, not within our lifetime, well, within my lifetime, but we were very young, there was a law that was made, and this goes about the 501c church. When the Johnson Amendment came in, that's President Johnson. He wasn't a Johnson. Well, he was always a Johnson, I guess.
Why is President Johnson?
Okay. Anyway. But he was a senator at the time, and in Texas, And they were trying to, the church, he did a whole bunch of immoral things, you know, he was a boozer and a womanizer and all kinds of things.
Oh,
and in fact, that's one of the few shows that I've seen on HBO or wherever it was that was pretty accurate. But anyway, he was a womanizer and everything, and the church was very outspoken at that time about politicians and things, and they were coming against him, you know. Well, he got upset, and so he helped write this bill that they called the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment came up with the 501c classification. That change it, when a church would sign up for that, then they get a number, and, you know, you can pick up, and you know this is hard, and we'll discuss this. This is a good topic. When the church would be given a number, so that, you know, if somebody wanted to donate to the church, the church would give them that number. They call the IRS and say, hey, is number such, 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 such in good standing? And they'd say yes or no. If they said yes, then they know that their whatever they donate, you know, is going to be guaranteed to get a tax deduction for it. So the church has jumped on it, and that made them a 501c corporation. And so if you look up a 501c corporation, it doesn't say church any longer. It says charitable organization. And so the church doesn't realize that it went from being a church to a government entity called a charitable organization. It's no longer a church. And that's why even recently when I talked to a woman over the phone about something in Wichita, and she said, well, I have no jurisdiction over you. The reason she had no jurisdiction over us is because we are a church. And you hardly find in any legal language anything about a church, because the government, the old government, didn't believe in any kind of control on the church. The church governed itself. Okay, but having said that, one of the rules that churches had to follow was no political speech.
I remember that.
Right. And one, well, saying it now for the people, basically. Right. But so that meant that so if you talk out about, if you went out and did like the old church would have, the old church before 501c would have protested about homosexuality, and they would have screamed about it and so on and so forth. But now they don't, because if they do that, see, and they've been trained, you know, they've been watered down, they've been trained, well, that's political speech. Just talk inside the church. And then the church accepted political correctness, because they also didn't want to lose their 501c. Now, there's a lot of churches that are duped into this that don't realize that that's what they are, but technically they are partnered with Baal. They are partnered with other charitable. Let me ask you this. If we're partnered together, and you're a bad person, I'm a good person, is that biblical?
No.
Okay, well, you know that the Church of Satan and all these other crazy churches and organizations are also 501c3s, so you are actually loped in with them.
If you're a 501c3.
If you're a 501c3. You know, a 501c3 can't even get rid of its property. It has to give it away to another charitable organization, because technically, actually, when you own property and you are a 501c3, technically the government owns a piece of it. The government is the head. Who's the head of the church?
God.
God, Yeshua. Yeah, that's the head of the church. But a 501c3 corporation, who's the head of every corporation?
The government.
The government. So who's the head of a 501c3?
The government. We already knew that. That's why we're not one. We're under God, not the government.
Okay, amen. So going back to this. So the church became silent. That's how we have all of this junk going on, and how we have persecution of Christians, because we'll just say roughly, I think it was about 63, or it may have been a little earlier than that, but the point is the church has been gagged, and they gagged themselves by greed. See, technically it's greed. You know, it's all, oh, we can get money easier. You know?
Yeah, that's how you get most donations. You can't get anything from anybody without a 501c.
Well, you've called a lot of them. Why? What do they say to you?
they need the tax deduction. They need the 501(c). They won't give it to you unless you have a 501(c) number to give them so they can get a tax deduction off of it.
Well, doesn't that make it a little harder for us to get donations?
Yeah, it makes it real hard. We found a way around it, though.
Okay, well, maybe we'll talk.
Well, we didn't find a way around it. My husband found a way around it. That's, he did research the laws and found out that a church has, just has to give a thank you note for donations. So you can accept anything for the church, and a thank you note works as a tax deduction just the same as a canceled check or anything. You just write a thank you note with the letterhead of the church and sign it, and then they use that for their tax deduction.
Well,
but a lot of our donations come from people that don't even want recognition. They're under God, not, they don't want a tax deduction. That what they give to God. They don't want nothing in return. And a lot of our people that donate to our ministry are that way.
Yeah, amen. And they've been that way for a very long time, you know, for a long time.
And that's the way it should be. The church is supposed to take care of the people, not the government.
Okay, well, we'll talk about more of this when we come back because, well, you know, we have been having a good time and we're already in halfway point of the program, dear. Well, I'm fixing to make a movie star out of you. Anyway,
no, it's not movies, it's radio.
Well, I just told you that a while ago that you're a brat. Anyway, thanks. Anyway, tongue-tied again. See what women do to you. Anyway, we'll be back and visit WichitaHomeless.com, WichitaHomeless.com. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And I'm on this evening, or late afternoon, if you want to call it that. I don't know when does evening start, with my lovely wife since 1985. We all call her Mom, or, you know, some people call you what? Sister Linda, or?
Yeah, Sister Linda or Mom. Most people call me Mom.
Yeah, I call you Mom. You get upset when I call you Linda. I say, hey, Linda, and she won't, don't call me that. Well, you are Linda. You are my Linda.
You know, my five-year-old grandson says, Grandpa Dan and Grandma Linda. And I said, why you spell it? He goes, I'm not saying I didn't get in trouble.
That's funny. Okay, a couple of things. First, clarification. Just for the record, Trump stopped the rule Obama had for that Obama wrote to allow transgenders, men and women's bathrooms. Trump stopped that. Now, what we were talking about before break, we were talking about the church and the church being a 501(c). Let's go back to the donation thing. And so, because this is a part of the whole program, it's basically about the mission church and how we feel. But anyway, so the... You tried calling around, and asking for donations for the Wichita Mission Church. You know, what kind of results do you generally get?
Do you have a 501(c)?
What do you say to that?
No, we're not under the government. We're under Yahweh.
Oh, and so they probably hang up about that time?
Some do, some don't. Some have a heart and donate anyway without the deduction.
Okay, but most don't.
Most don't.
That's my point.
It's very, very hard to get donations without a 501(c).
Right, that's my point. Because, you know, yeah, it's a blessing that some people will see past that, but, you know, we're not focusing on, and so, amen, and I appreciate that they are really few and far in between.
Very few.
Very few. So most require that 501(c)(3) number, which makes it very hard for the Wichita Mission Church. Now, you brought up something else. You know, if you get your reward for something, you know, does God allow a double reward? I mean, you know, if you get rewarded on earth for something, you get rewarded in heaven.
No, it says store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth.
Right. So it also says, let not the left hand know what the right hand's doing, or vice versa. But it also says, when he's talking about prayer and people praying really loud in public, but it applies to everything, it says they got their reward. They did it for recognition.
Right.
So if you get, so, you know, now I'm not saying that a person isn't going to get blessed by making a donation and being a 501(c) and claiming in taxes in this situation, whatever. But, you know, I always say, especially at this part of the program, you know, which I am going to tell them this real quick. You know, I always say all donations, no matter what size, helps. And I'm not saying that whether you get a blessing or not for all kinds of donations, but the Father, and here's the real point. The donation that your Father notices is a donation that comes from
the heart.
From the heart. And that's what matters. You know, forget about all the regulations and everything else. It's the donation that comes from your heart. Meaning, you know, and when you give a donation from the heart, the donation should be given without want of recognition. You know, because
or reward.
Right, because you're supposed to be storing up treasure in heaven and not on earth.
Right.
I don't, in this situation and the way things is, I don't blame people for wanting to get a tax deduction and everything for it, you know, and amen. It does help the ministry because a lot of people wouldn't donate if they wouldn't get it, you know, even if they, unless they could get a deduction. That's
right.
Just the way, but that's how messed up the system is.
Right.
You know what I mean? The world system has got us to that point, you know, has got us to that point. So it makes it really tough when you're somebody like us, and, you know, we're a mission church. We are under the Father. We're under the Father and the Son. We are not under the government. And so it makes it hard without that number to get donations.
It does.
You know, absolutely. Well, what are some other hindrances? I mean, just everybody loves the homeless, don't they?
No, they want them to go away. Most people want them to go away. They want nothing to do with them. The journey or whatever. I don't know what they think, but you talk homeless, everybody runs from you.
Yeah, you'd think that they would be falling over backwards to help with the poor, but that's just not the way they
No, they'd rather send it overseas or somewhere and help instead of helping right here at home where it's needed.
Yeah, well, where does charity start?
At home.
Okay. Oh, and I noticed you pointing to your headset.
Dead.
Well, no, it's not dead. It's just that you're not going to hear me. The only way that you will hear anything, Mother, this is the first time, folks, she's had a headset on for the program. Well, you will only hear you heard the commercials, right?
Oh, I'll only hear Frank talks of the commercials.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You won't hear me. Now, if we had another guest now, we could have, boy, wouldn't that be something, folks? We could have a guest on with us, and you would hear the guest through there.
Oh, okay. I got it. I'll quit messing with them then.
Yeah.
I can see it's distracting you.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what you're doing. I'm afraid she's going to unplug something. You know, I can't hear this. You know, and after all, the right in front of her is the whole control for the radio program. So.
Well, I won't touch nothing, I promise.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are a promise keeper. So, keeping your word, you know.
You are what's your word. The Lord says you're as good as your word. So, if your word ain't any good, well, you got the rest of that picture.
Right, right, right. Okay, so, anyway, we just...
I got something for you.
Okay.
We got a I'm not bragging on myself or anything, but I try my best to keep my word. If I don't keep my word, just remind me and I will make it right. But we bought a bed last year at a place in Wichita, and the person that sold me the bed's name was King David Sanders, and that's his name, his real birth name. Anyway, he gave us a really good deal on a bed, and I said, okay, I'm going to bake you a birthday cake. Well, he didn't believe that I was going to bake it at the time when he told me. He said, we've got it way back. It has been over a year. I had to wait clear till February. Well, I couldn't remember exactly which day. I was going back and forth between the 12th and the 14th. Well, I baked him a Star of David carrot cake with cream cheese frosting just like he wanted. He didn't know it was going to be a Star of David, but I baked it Tuesday, and I took it out to the store. Well, he wasn't there, but the guy that was there said, oh, he said, King David. He says, oh, you mean David Sanders? And I said, yeah, King David Sanders. He said, well, he just kind of is very spiritual led, and so he just kind of added the title King to that. I'm like, oh, okay, well, a year ago I told him I was going to bake him a birthday cake. He goes, well, he no longer works here. He went to work as a school teacher. I said, oh, really? I said, well, do you have any way to get a hold of him? Or, and I was going to say, you can eat it. And he goes, well, we got his phone number. I'll call the office tomorrow, and I'll make sure he gets it. I said, well, if for any reason you can't get a hold of him, don't let that cut. He says, are you kidding? I'm dying to eat it now. But anyway, I kept my word. I made him a cake a year later and took it into the store and gave it. If he had been there, he would have got his birthday cake.
Yeah, amen. Well, he was a real good guy. That's a comfortable bed, and we got it at a good price.
Yeah.
You know?
And I took us way off subject, but that was a little allegory of me keeping my word.
Okay. Well, there is really no way off subject. We're just talking about whatever we want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe not. I better rephrase that, right?
And limit
how long
you.
Have you been with me?
Yeah, that's the point. Okay.
And no, it's not our first date.
No.
That was for somebody that asked me that question, huh? Okay, back to seriousness. Let's go.
Okay. Help. Anyway.
Are you sure you want me on here every other week?
Yeah, I'm just going to get a little, yeah.
Do I have to take training?
No, just more work for me. Anyway, all right. I have no idea where I'm at. Okay, well, let's go with this. All right, well, what? I'm sure you've seen about the shooting.
The school? Oh, my. I was sitting there crying about it. What are you talking? Yeah, I've seen it. That's just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Do you know that the young man is he's a Democrat? You know, actually, I was looking at a statistic today. Somebody sent me. I've got to relook it up. But I do know this is fact. Most of all the shootings, the multiple shootings and things like that, they're all done by liberal Democrats. You know, somebody that either portrays himself just as liberal or Democrats. Why do you think that is? I mean, conservatives are, you know, mostly, you know, they're not the shooters. The shooters are liberals. What's the problem? Why are they liberals? I thought liberals was against guns. You think about that. 90% of gun violence would stop if liberals, people that sided with the liberal side and not conservative, 90% of gun violence would stop. Does that shock you?
Not really. Nothing that the liberals does can shock me because they're pretty bad.
Why are liberals bad?
Evil. Run rampant.
Why are they running? I'm searching for something. You'll find
they're
it.
They're unsaved people, I guess. I have no idea why they're like that. They don't have the Lord in them is probably the reason why. The most reason I can think of is because they're not of the Lord.
Or they have a liberal. So liberalism is this, you know, technically it means that you would, instead of a narrow way of looking at things, you look at a broader way of looking at things, which in a sense could be good, but not to the extreme that they took it. But you're right. They're anti-God. They're anti-truth. You know, they change things just like they twist the Bible to match what they believe instead of following what the literal word says. Like it says, the word tells us that it's an abomination to man, for a man to lay like a man like he lays with a woman. In other words, if a man has sex with another man like he does with a woman, then it's an abomination. Well, they change all that, you know, and they say it means different things or blah, blah, blah. And even those liberalized churches go along with it. So the infection has got into the church. And you know what? I mean, I almost hate to even, it's a hard thing, and it gets harder for me all the time, to even say that I'm a church, because by saying I'm a church, I'm identifying with the Western church that is just, it's just, you know. Now, folks, again, we're talking about, I'm not talking about all the small-time churches, and we're talking about the bigger, big-city, liberalized churches, and, you know, that are going along with these things. If you go along with being politically correct, you know, you really need to open your Bible, because the number one thing that you need to do is be what? What's the number one thing we're called to do?
Saved.
If you're saved, then you're going to be about things. You're going to be blank about things.
Truthful.
Truthful. That's the exact word I was looking for. Truthful. So if you're not truthful, you know, then what's it say about liars? The word.
Revelation 21:8.
What's that
it
say?
It says that they're going to burn.
Says they're going to burn. They got a place in the lake of fire. All liars. Not some, but all.
No, all liars.
All liars.
And there's no such thing as a white lie or a blue lie or a green lie. Their lie is a lie is a lie is a lie.
Right. So, let's go back to this. Technically, a lot of the churches, we'll go with that, a lot of the churches that call themselves a church are basically lying, because they signed a paper that says they're not a church, or they're a
501c3 corporation.
Corporation. So there's so they're a charitable organization. That's what they call it. That's classification.
Right.
Charitable organization. Well, yes, the church should be charitable, because, well, wait a minute, who's supposed to do charity? The government or who?
The church.
The church. Well, see, prior to the Johnson Act, you know, that amendment, and that was the same time, too, if you look back in history, where you'll see the government starting to change welfare and increase it. Now, I'm not saying welfare is a bad thing. I mean, we should have a thing to help people out when they hit the bottom and give them a hand up, try to get them back on track. But that was the church's job, and the churches did it predominantly before this came about. Once they became a charitable organization, most churches, the bigger the church got, the less charitable they became. Instead of giving money out to the people, they started building these palaces that have bowling alleys in them and tennis courts and spending money on coffee shops and things. Now, I don't have a problem with during Bible study people drinking coffee, but there's another entirely thing that the focus on drawing people in is a coffee shop and their lobby and everything. And then they do lavish, the modern church does lavish. Now, I love praise and worship, but they put on lavish shows, that, which is okay. But the point is it's supposed to be the Bible and hearing the truth that brings somebody into the body of Messiah to listen. You go there for correction, not to go there and have your ears tickled, you know. But right. Nowadays,
you say that you're doing what you're doing is right when you know in the Word it says it's not.
Right, and I know people that have came to ours for a while until they got some truthful information.
Until they was convicted in the heart, and then they didn't want to come no more because they didn't want to take the truth and take their conviction.
Right, and so it's all about truth. It goes back to that. So when the church, so you see the problem that I'm talking about. This is how America got ungodly. So when the prayer was taken out of the church was no longer a church. The church was a 501c3 charitable organization. So did they complain? No. Where abortion was made legal and had the trial and all those things afterwards, guess what? The church was silent. Why was the church silent? Because it wasn't a church. It was a charitable organization, you know, and they couldn't politically talk about it. Otherwise, they'd lose their 501c3. And now that would be devastating for a church, because technically they don't even own the property that they own. All these big corporations, at any time, if the government got set up in them, they could legally come in and take that church because it belongs to them.
Right.
And they would disperse it. And there's the kicker. From what my guest said, the one that did the Trump prophecies told me a few weeks ago, he said, in fact, it goes further than that. I looked it up. It looks like he's right, that the church, technically, at that point, if they say, well, we're shutting down, they have to give away their assets to other charitable organizations.
Oh.
And so they could, like, say, okay, today we no longer want to be a charitable organization, a 501c church, and keep their property, because they wouldn't, it would be a legal battle to be able to retain that property as a church instead of a 501c. So they get basically given to the government. So when a person gives to a 501c church, what are you doing with the, who are you giving the money to?
The government.
You're technically giving it to the government. Not that the government takes every dime of it, but they have the ability to do it. And it's just like that. Now, a church, if you are a 501c charitable organization, everything that you, every penny, nickel, dime, that's not wrong with keeping track of money. I mean, my wife keeps track of everything. But my point is you have to have a set of books that when the if the IRS walked in tomorrow, they say, I want to see your books, and you, there's no, you have no recourse but to give them everything because it belongs to them. Now then, a church, a real church, we don't have to give them anything.
They you don't say, even have to keep records.
I don't even have to keep. Oh, the only records that I am required to keep is records that I need, or that we need, the church body needs between ourselves to operate.
Right.
We're not obligated. And it's not that you're hiding anything or anything else, but here's the point. You know, I'm trying to show you folks that if you're a church, you belong to God. He's the head of the church. And so the church should not be held back from preaching the true word of God.
Right.
But when there's a guideline that says you can't preach the true word of God, now some churches go right ahead and do it, or some charitable organizations, you know what I'm saying, go right ahead and do it. But they haven't had a light shown on them. They could be turned in and so on and so forth. And if some a liberal pressed the issue, then they would be in trouble.
Right.
It's just like if they put out a that's why some of these court battles are the churches are having. Most churches aren't even sitting. Now, if there is some that is in your area, you know, then tell me about them. But my point is not everybody has been stifled. And I know a lot, like pastor that I'm going to have come on, Pastor Carl Gouch will be on with me in the next hour. Well, an hour from when we close at 7 p.m. Central. He's never been called down on it, but he talks about the government and everything, and that's Pastor Carl Gallups. But and his church is a 501c. But and I wish all 501c churches spoke as he does, because he's very outspoken. But he hasn't been turned in either. What are you looking at? Oh, anyway, so. And she's my wife's looking at all the notes and things and everything that's up to see if it's relevant, you know, but it isn't. So anyway, we only got about 4 minutes left. So let's talk about the Wichita Mission Church. Do we need help right now?
We always need help.
Always?
Always. Yeah. There's always needs. Always needs. Do you always have needs?
Yes.
Okay, and what's that? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, it's the same thing. Need unto others as you would have them need unto you. If you need it, they need it. If you need it, somebody else needs it. You ain't the only one that needs it.
Yeah, amen. And they don't have the way to do this. So, you know, that's why that's one of the harder things about this ministry is that you have people that need so much, and we don't have any. Do we have a guideline that says what we can give or not give?
No. We give whatever the Lord brings that gives to us, we give to others.
And we give it instantly. I can make that decision. You know why I can make that decision, or you can make that decision?
Because we're under God.
Because we're under God. And God puts whatever he puts on our heart, then we can do it in that moment. But a church, you know, they have to go by a set of rules. It's been okayed by not only the government, but it's been okayed by their board, you know, which technically, you know, in the Bible, actually, the preachers aren't supposed to be ruled by everybody else, you know, where you're supposed to be in agreement or whatever, but it's just not, let's go with that. It's not set up the way the government does. The government says a corporation has to have a board, so you have to have a board, you know, and so everything has to be okayed by the board. Now, not that other people don't agree with the way that we give out things and do things. It's just the point. We just have to say to that person that's in need of a pair of shoes, wait a minute, I've got to go ask this board. Well, they're not going to convene for another week or two, so I got to wait a week.
No, we say, here, take these shoes. Or what size do you wear? I'll have Pat Dan run down there to Walmart and pick you up a pair.
So, okay, what kind of things do you need? Let's say you lived in Wichita and you could drop something off. What would they drop off?
Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, that's what we need. We need everything you need. I can make a list a mile long.
Okay, but we're going to point out a few of those things because, listen, I've said that to people many times, and I've had them email me back or call me back and say, what's that mean? You know, they need... People need
okay.
to
what
know.
What we can always, always, always use to operate the Mission Church, meats, any kind of meat, pastas, vegetables, sugar, flour, salt, pepper, mustard, ketchup, mayonnaise, cleaning supplies, plates, cups, everything you need to serve people we need at the church. And it's really very hard to stock the church. Because as soon as I buy it, we're flooded with people. And there it goes out the door. So it's very hard to stock. We need stuff all the time. The same goes with the clothes closet. I need a place to get clothes if anybody has any suggestions because the place that I was getting them is no longer available. So we need clothes. Any kind of donations that the Lord puts on your heart, we need.
Blankets?
Blankets are in high demand. Sleeping bags, not so much, but it's still got a few cold nights. It could get cold again.
Mother, are you sleeping bags all year, and especially now coming up? Actually, we need sleeping bags worse right now than we ever need them. Not because, you know, when they come, the overflow is going to be closing. When the overflow closes and they're all outside, that is the end. And they need bags to sleep outside. And even when the weather warms up a little bit, then they run out of that because they don't like the way that they're treated in the overflow shelter.
They all sleep
so
outside,
they sleep outside. So and then even in the warm parts of the year, they still need
sleeping bags. Yeah.
And so sleeping bags are always a must. Now, you know, we've only got about 30 seconds left.
Socks.
Okay, how about, don't you need donations to pay the Mission Church bills?
Yes, I need donations to pay bills, period. I just don't like to ever ask for them, but pray about it, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Yes, we need it. The Lord tells you to send it.
Yeah, any size of a donation would help, and again, we're back to that. You know, people, so many people, they say, well, you said pray about it, but what's that mean? Well, any size donation will help. Amen. And we do need your help now. We spend, because there's such a great need, you know, we'll spend down to the last dime in our pocket. Sometimes we go there, we really don't even have any money. But the Lord...
The Lord always provides.
The Lord always provides. There's always dinner. We always get there and back. I've never been stranded yet over there, and so...
Not yet. No, we have to spend the night a couple times.
I repeat that. There is no yet. To it.
Yeah, there is no. Yeah. Okay, I'll accept that rebuke.
Yeah, there is no yet to it. Okay, folks, well, you can always share this program with others, but let me know how you like my wife being on, and stay tuned. Soon, we're going to turn this into a video program, and it's going to be called Mission Watch. So, we got to get out of here, but remember, there is only one God. He is who? He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for what? What did he give his life for?
Who? Yeshua, so we will be saved.
Yeah, he gave his life for our repented sins.
Right.
For repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be what?
A blessing to others.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying, an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and
Sister Linda saying shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.